chapter 14. There it goes. Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 16 of Luke 14. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. That'll be our text this evening here. The title of the message is A Great Supper. And before we begin, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. Lord, how we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, to worship you. Lord, we pray that you would take this in thy scripture and use it to teach us of the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach us more of the Savior. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace. Lord, above all things, we thank you for our Savior. We desire to know more of him. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of trouble, Lord, we pray you'd comfort and strengthen, encourage your people. Lord, in all things, teach us to look to thee, Lord, to rest in thee for all things. Lord, we thank you for our pastor, and Lord, we pray that you would be with him as he and Janet are away from us. Lord, that you would give them a time of rest and relaxation, and Lord, that you would return them to us safely. Now again, we pray your blessing upon us in this hour. Lord, bless us with your presence. Set aside the thoughts and cares of this world. Let us see Christ. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen. Again, we read here, a certain man made a great supper. Back in Isaiah 25, we read, in the mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. We read here of a supper, and supper is a time when our bodies are nourished. And when we gather together, for the preaching of the word, when we gather together to worship, our souls are fed. And we're fed at the table. We read that in Psalm 23. We're fed at the table God sets for his people. And I hope that's why we're here tonight, to be fed, that we would be nourished, that he would be pleased to feed his people as we gathered together. Christ told Simon Peter, he said, feed my sheep. And here in our text, we read of a great supper. He refers to a great supper. And I have six things that I think we should consider about this great supper. And the first is this. It's great by virtue of the maker of it. He who prepared it. David said there in Psalm 23, thou preparest a table for me. For me. God is the maker of it. And he is the great God. Over in Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not man, nor taketh reward. He's not influenced by our deeds. He's not influenced by our actions or any so-called contributions that we might make. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. In Proverbs 26, he's the great God that formed all things. He's sovereign. Simply said, he is sovereign. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence. And he's sovereign in salvation. And someday we will all gather around his table as one body and worship Him and Him alone. In Revelations chapter 19, turn over to the book of Revelation. Revelation 19. Look at verse 17. Revelation 19 and verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Second, it's a great feast because of the rich provision of it. This is not a potluck. Nobody needs to sign up for rolls, right? It's not God doing His part and then man doing his. It's not a meal where, I've heard Brady say this, we're going Dutch. You know, where you pay yours and he pays his. That's not what this is. This is a feast that He has prepared. We're not paying our own way. We're not contributing in any way. The only thing we bring is sin. That's what we bring to the equation. And in verse 17, back in Luke 14, he says this. He told his servant, he said, you say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. The Lord provides all. He provides it all. Back in Genesis 22, won't you turn there with me? Genesis chapter 22. Abraham and Isaac were walking up that mountain to offer a sacrifice and to worship God. And look beginning in verse 5. Abraham said to the young men, he said, abide with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and he took the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham made that statement. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's great provision, isn't it? He provides the lamb. The Lord provided himself as the lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he is God. Almighty God is that He provided Himself the Lamb. And the Lord will provide Himself for a Lamb. It's Almighty God's the offended party here. And there must be a blood sacrifice. And only one will do. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will provide. He'll see to it that every one of His lost sheep will be redeemed. His law honored, His justice satisfied, His covenant fulfilled. The glory of His Son will be accomplished and nothing will be left undone. We read back there in our text, all things are ready. It is, Christ said this on the cross. He said, it's finished. The work is complete. The work is done. And when Abraham bound his son and he laid him on that altar, and took that knife to slay his son, that angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, stopped him. He said, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? He saw that ram caught in the thicket. that lamb that God had provided. And he took that ram and he offered it up in the place of his son for a burnt offering as a substitute in the place of his son. Why is it a great supper? The great provision of it. We eat his flesh and we drink his blood. Third, why is this a great supper? Well, consider the guests. Consider the number of them and consider the nature of them. It's a number. How many is going to be there? It's a number which no man can number. A people redeemed to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every nation and tribe under heaven. Our Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Look in our text here. Look at verse 17 there in Luke 14. "Now he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are ready.' But you know, they had no interest." Look there at verse 18. "They all with one consent began to make excuse." There was no interest. They were taken up with the things of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Look at verse 18. "They began to make excuse. One said, I bought some land. I gotta go check on that land. Another one said, I bought some oxen. I gotta go check on those oxen. Another one said, I've married a wife." Just they began to make excuses. Our Lord said in John 5, verse 40, he said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." So the servant, look at verse 21, "The servant came and he showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly.'" Go out quickly. This is urgent, isn't it? "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither." Bring them here. Bring them to the place. Just like when, remember when David sent his servant to fetch Mephibosheth? He said, you go get him. You go fetch him. And you go bring him back to me. And I believe that's what's being said here. You go out there and you find him and you bring him to me. And God's word and his spirit go forth, saving his sheep, calling his sheep to himself. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the spirit and belief of the truth." And his people, his sheep, are made willing in the day of his power. He said in verse 21 of our text, he said, "Go out quickly in the streets and the lanes in the city and bring in hither." And look who he sends. Look who he tells them to go get. This is a description of a sinner, isn't it? He said, "You go find the poor, the helpless, the needy. You go find the maimed, the crippled." Just like old Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, he would have never come out of Lodabar unless David had sent and fetched him and brought him back. You bring the halt. The halt can't take a first. They can't take the first step, huh? Our Lord, he made the lame to walk. He said, "You go get the blind, those that cannot see." No doubt that is a description of a sinner. Those that can do nothing for themselves. They're dependent upon someone, completely dependent on someone else. And he said, "You go get him and you bring him to me." He says this of his sheep. He says, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Look at verse 23. The Lord said, "Go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled." And we read in verse 25, "A great multitude went with him." a great number of poor, of maimed, of halt, of the blind. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners? This is who He came to save. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then look back at verse 16. Again, this great supper. Great by virtue of the maker of it. Great by the rich provision of it. Great by the number and nature of guests that would attend. And it's great considering the cost of it. To the guests, no charge. It's free. Free and sovereign grace. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without price. But though it's free to the people, it does not come without a cost. A great price was paid. We used to sing a song, I owed a debt. Haven't heard this one. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Look, beginning with verse 18 of 1 Peter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers, but how were you redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Oh, the great cost of it. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Back in Isaiah 53, we read this. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. We read this. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. Almighty God laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. Oh, the great price paid for it. Without the shedding of blood, His blood had to be shed. It had to be poured out. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The great cost of redemption, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. Fifth, it's a great supper because of the great joy and the pleasure of all those who attend. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, what was the joy that was set before Him? He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross, the cruel cross, the shame, and the humiliation of it. Crucified there between two common thieves. All the shame and humiliation. Slain by Almighty God. The sin debt paid for. And He considered this joy to redeem his people. And we can't even enter in to the joy that awaits us. But I know this. How often How often in the Scriptures do we read of Christ healing people in His Word? Or when a poor sinner is brought to know the Savior, and we read, they went on their way rejoicing. Haven't we seen that? Haven't we seen that with our own eyes? When those that we love, those who are dear to us, those we don't know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to them in mercy and truth, they went on their way rejoicing. How about that fellow that found that one lost sheep? We read that he went and he searched till he found him, and he put him on his shoulder and he carried him home. And what did he do? He said, rejoice with me. What's the occasion? For I have found my lost sheep. I have found my sheep which was lost. Oh, the joy that surrounds this supper. And in this text, in Luke 14, we read that great supper prepared by the Master, there were those bidden that would not come. The servant said, all things are ready, but they would not come. They made excuses. Remember, I bought some land, I bought some oxen, I've married a wife. Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, and though Felix was troubled by it, he trembled. He told Paul, go thy way. Go thy way for this time. Maybe you come back a time that's more convenient. My friends, today is the day of salvation. A convenient season, I'll call for thee. No need of a Savior. And those that made excuses, I can only assume this one thing. They weren't hungry. We read, bring in the poor, the halt, the maimed, the blind. Every one of those is someone whose condition is one of need. And they came. They came. Years ago, Adam and Carrie would host a Pancake Saturday. As you can imagine, we just all get together and ate pancakes. But unless someone was working, or unless somebody was traveling, we were all there. And the pancakes were prepared, and Carrie made this, I don't even know what kind of pancake syrup it was, some kind of homemade pancake syrup. It was just delicious. But there was a fella, Adam had a fella working. And he was putting a roof on the garage. And Adam had told him about these pancakes. It's Saturday morning. And those of you who know Adam, he can be very persistent. And he kept telling that fella. He said, look, we're having pancake syrup. We're all going to be in there eating. You need to come and join us. And the young man's response was, no, that's just for your family. That's just for your family. And Adam just kept asking him, and he kept saying, nah, I'll stay out here and work. That's for your all's family. And this went on for a pretty good while. And Adam would say, Are you sure you don't want to come in and join us for some pancakes? No, that's just for your family. And finally Dale stepped in. And this is what he said. He said, Chris. He called him by name. He said, Chris, here's the question. Do you like pancakes? Are you hungry? And isn't that the question? And it wasn't long before Chris had showed up in the dining room. And I don't remember anybody missing a seat. And I don't remember anybody being short of a pancake. There was plenty. There was plenty. This supper was a great supper. And you know, Isaac was doing his observation in college with this fellow. And that's been over 15 years, hasn't it, Adam? At least. He still talks about that breakfast. He still talks about that. And I just thinking about this. I, I know there are those who are probably sitting here tonight and we struggle with this question. Am I His? Am I one of God's elect? Am I one of His sheep? And I think we all struggle, if we're going to be perfectly honest, we all struggle with that. We all struggle with that from time to time. Why did I think that? Why did I say that? How can I possibly be one of His? But I think the question that we need to ask is, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Do you desire to know Him? In Matthew 5, verse 6, turn to the book of Matthew. I promise you this, if you're hungry for it, it's because He made you hungry. But look what's said here in Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed. You know what that word means? It means happy. Happy. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We've got good news. For they shall be filled. Happy. The sixth point, my final point, why is it a great supper? The sufficiency of it. Consider this. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He said, of all that the Father hath given me, I will lose nothing. Luke chapter 14, verse 23, the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come that my house may be filled. And not going to be one empty seat. He's not going to miss one of them. All those whom God has chosen, all for whom Christ died, all who are brought by the Spirit of God to believe shall be saved. They shall never perish. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. A certain man, he made a great supper. You know, I can't help but think of Mephibosheth. There he says, eating bread continually. He's never going to go hungry, is he? Eating bread continually at the king's table as a son. Does it get any better than that? A great supper. Great because of the maker of it. Great because of the rich provision of it. Great because of the number and nature of the guests. Great because of the cost of it. Great the pleasure and joy of all those who attend. And great because of the sufficiency of it. I pray the Lord would make us mindful of these things, of His rich provision for His people. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, and we'll close. There's a warning that goes with this. I believe a warning that goes with this. Look at Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. You didn't build them. And houses full of all good things, which you filled not. And wells digged, which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt eat and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. All right. May God be pleased to bless his word. You're dismissed.